Hello and welcome along to the Let's Talk Racing podcast in association with Racing TV. I'm joined alongside my co-host Andrew Blair White. Andrew, good weekend of racing, wasn't it?
Yeah, superb weekend of racing between Down Royal and Weatherby, and even the racing over at Ascot as well. It was a real feast of National Hunt action, which I love getting stuck into. And I remember saying to you on one of the previous videos we did, I think back in September time, one of our very early Cheltenham anti-post videos, that it would only feel like the jump season once we got to Badger Beers Day at Wincanton, and it's getting nearer and nearer as we go on.
It is this weekend. Over the next 25 to 30 minutes, I'll be talking you through our thoughts of the weekend. We'll also be looking ahead to the action at Wincanton over in Ireland as well. It's extremely good racing again this weekend. And then to mix it up, to finish on, we'll be going through the novice hurdlers, the top novice hurdlers over at the heights of the Antipost Market to the Cheltenham Festival. And we're going to put which distances we think they'll be running over. There's a lot of talk at this time of year. A lot of them have only won bumpers over 2 miles. So we're going to try and narrow down the categories of where we think those smart prospects will run. Let's look back at the weekend's racing, first of all. And there was plenty of big talking points, none more so then Frodon in the champion chase at Down Royal over 3 miles. We had it right. Paul Nicholls had him 100% primed. Manila Rindo will definitely come on for the run. And he ran similar to how he was running before Cheltenham last year. Galvin was very gallant in second, and I think he probably enhanced his credentials. But first of all, Andrew, we've got to discuss the winner, Frodon. It was brilliant to see. I think he's such a people's horse now, and even those horses, or those people, sorry, that didn't warm to him over the last couple of years, it's very difficult not to warm to him now.
Yeah, exactly. And he keeps proving himself to be maybe a little bit better than those naysayers would continuously say. I remember around this time last year, maybe even 18 months ago, I was possibly one of those naysayers, but it's so hard not to like this horse and the way he goes about it. And I thought he jumped super. And I think we can often get too into our box about talking about potentially Manila Indo and Delta Work and Galvin about longer term targets looking ahead towards Cheltenham festivals and stuff like that, and fail to appreciate what we've actually seen on the weekend, which was a superb effort from Frodon. Looked like he was going to be swamped turning into the straight at Down Royal at 2 out, kept repelling them, and has ended up worrying Galvin out of it at the back of the last to go and win another Grade One. So brilliant for Paul Nicholls, brilliant for Bryony Frost. Yet another very good ride from herself on Frodon. They get along so well, and it's a partnership that you just can't help but like.
Mr. Harry Durham said that the boss outlined this race during the summer, and it's been his main target. It was his Gold Cup, and he duly obliged. He won very impressively, and it's just so much to like about Frodon. He's really got a heart of a lion. I feel like we should quickly go back and discuss Galvin. I was really impressed with him. And he's the type of horse, we know that he'd have been very close to 100% for the weekend. But that extra 2 furlongs of a Gold Cup is only going to help him, and he'll only benefit from it. He'll stay all day. Are you of the same opinion?
No, well, this is where me and you are going to come to blows for the first time in quite a while, Josh, because I cannot see the angle behind Galvin in the slightest bit for the Gold Cup. I can understand he's a very good horse. I can understand he ran very well on the weekend, but he was race fit. He was 100% ready to go, and he got absolutely outbattled at the back of the last, which is not a strength or not a weakness that you need at Cheltenham in a Gold Cup race. He won the National Hunt Chase. He was given a fantastic ride by Jack Kennedy as well, remember. He's ended up beating Next Destination and Ascaria 10. Let's just put things into context. Those two horses would almost have to start tomorrow if they were to have a chance in the finish of a Gold Cup. So he's got to improve an awful lot from that. He's improved a fair bit in his 2 starts this year. I do get that. I just don't see the angle behind the Gold Cup whatsoever. Was he not this, like, if I'm posing it back to you, Josh, was he not this year's version of the Storyteller who won the race last year, beating Chris's Dream? Like, the Storyteller was never a Gold Cup horse, but he still won that race at Down Royal. I'm posing this question that I think Galvin is this year's the Storyteller.
I think Galvin's classier than the Storyteller. And look, I don't think he's a Gold Cup winner at this stage, but I think he's definitely a contender and should be one to be thinking that route with. I'm sure Gordon is thinking that. And like I say, I said it on a podcast before, I think he would struggle over 3 miles. But those extra 2 furlongs will only help him at Cheltenham, and the extra gear that they go in the Gold Cup will only help him. And I do think he's got to be strongly considered. I wasn't convinced going into the weekend. I was similar to you. But I think he enhances credentials, and I do think connections will look down that route. So it'd be interesting. Another high-profile winner over in Ireland was Envoy Alain, who returned to the winner's enclosure. It was great to see. He looked like he had that old spark, and you could tell by Rachel Blackmore's attitude and her smile when the race finished that she thought that she was sat on something special. What did you make of that performance?
Yeah, it was a good performance. He was entitled to win the way he did. I think for an awful lot of National Hunt fans, you had to have gone into that race just hoping he'd show a bit of that old spark, a bit of that zest. And after maybe being, I wouldn't say scruffy, but maybe a little bit tentative at one or two of his first couple of fences, he actually jumped super as the race went on, and he's put the race to bed in impressive fashion at the back of 3 out, really, on that long way down to 2 out. He burned off Coco Beach, who was his main challenger, really, on paper, and a couple of the others couldn't get into it. So it was one of those races you were hoping, with the standard of opposition and in the race conditions, that Envoy Alain was going to do that. But sometimes it's not as easy as it looks, but he made it look easy, and hopefully he can go on and progress from that, and probably will learn more next time out.
A big talking point was his main target in the spring, and specifically the Cheltenham Festival. There's rumours that he could go and run in say, a King George over at Kempton on Boxing Day. But the Cheltenham Festival, I think he's got so many options. Henry obviously has plenty in the Gold Cup. Cheveley Park have Alaho, last year's winner, in the Ryanair, and they don't really have a champion chase horse. Do you think there's a possibility that Envoy Alain could step down in trip and potentially be Cheveley Park and Henry de Bromhead's champion chase horse?
Yeah, I see an awful lot of people coming to these summations. I just don't see it personally myself. I know this horse isn't short on speed. I'm not saying that for a second, but a champion chase is a completely different beast, and dropping down into that division doesn't look any friendlier, I must confess, when you look at Shishkin and Ergamine, Chacan Porsois. You know, that's a real strong division that you're just entering yourself into for almost the sake of entering it. And I think Cheveley Park have got to come to the situation a little bit like what we saw a few years ago with the Donnellys, when they ran Asterion Furlange and Shishkin both in the Supreme, and they ran nobody in the Ballymore, because it was the right race for the two of them to run in. And I think Cheveley Park are going to have this here, where Alaho and Envoy Alain are really destined to be in the Ryanair. I think Envoy Alain, at the moment in his career, is an out-and-out 2.5 miler, and you've got to run your best horses in the races that suit themselves most. And that could end up being the two of them in that Ryanair. And I think Cheveley Park are just going to have to swallow their pride a little bit and run the two against each other.
I agree. I do think that they'll bypass the Gold Cup with him. I think they'll keep him to intermediate distances this year and hopefully go for the Ryanair. It would make my anti-post slip look all so glorious at 16-1. I'm going to pose a question to you, Andrew. Alaho puts in the same performance as last year, but Envoy Alain is back to his very best. Who wins that?
Alaho, by a couple of lengths as well. I don't think anything in training would have beaten him last year in the Ryanair.
Big, bold statement. And it'd be very interesting to see if Envoy Alain can get back to his best. He looks very close to it. And I think the John Durkin is next up for him. So I'm sure we'll get more of an indication then of how good Envoy Alain is. After the youngsters over in Ireland, Phil Dawe, very impressive in the juvenile. Zanahir, interesting one, Zanahir. He won over 2 miles, beating Castmate, who I think could be well handicapped of 139. But he was a battler. And I've got a theory. Look, Zanahir was outpaced in that race, and Castmate's a rated 139. He's not a world beater. There was a few people after saying he's a champion hurdle horse. He cannot afford to be outpaced in a champion hurdle, because during that flat spot, if he's got a flat spot coming down the hill, Honeysuckle will put 5-10 lengths between him and her. And she's not going to stop up the Cheltenham Hill. So I really don't understand where people are saying Zanahir is a champion hurdle horse. I think he's a very good horse, and it looks like he's off to the Hatton Grace to face Honeysuckle next time out over 2.5 miles at Fairy House. And I could almost see him running in that, running well, maybe not beating Honeysuckle, maybe coming over to England for something like the rail keel on New Year's Day, and then maybe being an entry hurdle horse rather than a stayers hurdle horse or a champion hurdle horse. Do you think that could be plausible?
Yeah, I think that's very plausible, Josh, to be honest. I'd be with you there. Probably doesn't quite have the speed over 2 miles, but at the same stage, like, this horse isn't slow. Like, I don't see the real...
No. I don't think he's slow, and I think people are crying out for a champion hurdle challenger to come out of the woodwork for Honeysuckle. It looks quite a boring renewal, but in comparison to a Honeysuckle who will ping coming down the hill, who's got plenty of gears, plenty of speed, and stays... He's not on that same level for me.
No, and I completely understand that. I was more of the mindset that I do see some people putting him in the stairs hurdle category, and I really don't think he's that slow, to be honest. He seems to be a real out-and-out 2.5 miler, if ever I saw one, because he was outpaced at Punchestown in that juvenile hurdle at the end of the year that Jeff Kidder won. He ended up staying on like a train. Now, Punchestown probably wouldn't suit his style of running as well, because it's quite a sharp track near the finish of a race. It goes downhill after the last flight. But he's the type of horse I'd like to see him in the Hatton's Grace. I think he could give Honeysuckle something to think about. Obviously, probably his most impressive performance last year came on that card last year in the Grade 3 Juvenile Hurdle when he beat St. Sam by half the track. So that'll be an interesting one to see. I think he's a real quality horse. I probably took a few more positives from his reappearance run than others did. I thought he was really impressive. I like the way he goes about it. He jumps super and he finds heaps off the bridle. So he's the type of horse I'll be keeping the right side of.
Mighty Potter was impressive. He did everything he had to do. American Mike won the bumper very well. He's now favourite for the champion bumper. Let's go over to England now, the Charlie Hall Chase. And this was, how do you describe it? So unfortunate for Harry Skelton. He actually had an awful weekend, really. He lost two horses. He lost Crook's Peak and Cadzand, which is a massive shame. And I kind of echoed what I said on Twitter. No horse should go to the racetrack and not come back. But the day before, Shamblou was kicked on going around the bend at Weatherby. Still three flights to jump. He looked mightily impressive up until the point he fell. I am firmly of the opinion he'd have won the race. I don't think it was a tired fall.
Yes, look, I saw a few reactions on Twitter to this and a few takes out of the race and people giving out about Harry Skelton kicking him on and that he would have been swallowed up and stuff like that. I am convinced, and based off stuff that me watching the race back, that I'm watching a completely different race to everyone else. How people are not saying this horse wouldn't won by 20 lengths is kind of beyond me, to be honest. I thought he was going to absolutely hack up. He's ended up just taking a mother and father of falls. I don't think it was a tired fall. Are people telling me when Undeso was a novice chaser that he was making tired falls at 2 or 3 out? No, he wasn't. He just made the odd absolute clanger and would end up on the deck. It was a massive shame. Just look at the way the other horses finished. Fusil Raffles is all out to beat Kitty's Light, and we were obviously very fortuitous to see Kitty's Light in person down at Christian Williams a couple of weeks ago. They absolutely adore that horse, but I don't think they would have thought that Kitty's Light was going to come second in a Charlie Hall Chase, only beaten 2 lengths. I think they'd have been more happy if she'd finished third, beaten 15 lengths by Shamblou, because it might have protected a handicap mark. I just can't understand how you can blame Skelton for that. And this is coming from somebody I have been a bit snippy about Skelton in the past, certainly at Cheltenham festivals and stuff where he has gone too soon. But on this occasion here, this horse is going to absolutely romp up. And I can't understand the philosophy behind this horse falling in a hole because I think he's just made a bad mistake. That can happen. And he's ended up on the deck, but thank goodness he's fitting well and we'll hopefully see him back in the spring.
I think you've hit the nail on the head and you've echoed all of my thoughts as well. I think he'd have won very impressively. It's not ideal that he's fallen. Could it give an emotional impact to him long term? I know now he's not going to run until the spring of 148. Would he have a squeak in a Cheltenham handicap? You'd like to think so, but he's also got to get back to the same form he was in going into the Charlie Hall, and that might be difficult. Fiddler on the Roof won the Colin Parker at Carlisle, and he beat Paid the Piper, who won a, well, effectively a walkover on his chasing debut. He jumped the first and the horse alongside him fell. So we had a lovely schooling session. The one thing I can't understand, and if Fiddler on the Roof afterwards, there was talk of Labrick Trophy, the Betfair Chase, and talk that he could be a Gold Cup horse. I think it's just bonkers. He'll never stay 3 miles and 2 furlongs at Newbury in a really strongly run race. Not good enough for a Betfair Chase, especially with the field that looks like it's assembling for this year's renewal. Why would you not go to Huntington and win a Peterborough Chase with this horse? That's the type of race I think would be a good stepping stone for him. Gold Cup talk is ludicrous.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Josh, he can be with Next Destination and Oscaria 10 at the line tomorrow, because I'd echo that. He has no chance in a Gold Cup. I absolutely love Pay the Piper, but like Pay the Piper was a 140 horse going into Sunday. Now, I'm sure he won't be a 140 horse no more, but the race somewhat fell apart. Ahoy Senor has fallen at 2 out. He'll be a grand novice over 3 miles. Espoir de Rame was awfully disappointing. Silver Hallmark is a grand, probably grade 3/listed handicapper. So, you know, I just think it is fanciful. I think you're bang on. I think races like the Peterborough Chase, those 2.5 mile grade 2s, grade 3s, you know, you can make a living off them. He's a good enough horse to be going very close in all of those sort of races. He is a good horse, obviously. It was good to see him get his head back in front, because he was a nearly horse last year. But I think people need to slightly just put things into perspective in terms of long-term goals.
Connections might be listening to this and thinking, what are these two on about? He is a Gold Cup horse. And look, if you feel that way, then you go for it. I personally don't. If I owned him, if I trained him, I would campaign him towards something like the Peterborough Chase. And if you're going to try and go for a grade one, you know, that 2.5 mile grade one, the Ascot Chase in February, usually doesn't pull a vintage field. And if you're going to nick a grade one here and there, that might be an idea after him backing a performance up in something like the Peterborough Chase. Let's look ahead to the weekend then, and a brilliant weekend at that. Wincanton, it's Badger Beers Day at Goshen. Is on the card. Nappers Hills also entered. It looks like he's going to take up the engagement, carrying a penalty in a novice hurdle. Brave Man's Game in the Rising Stars. I know Paul Nichols is slightly concerned with the grounds, and he'll only run if it is safe and suitable. I think he's going to walk the course on Friday. A Brewed Up a Storm returns in that 2.5 mile intermediate hurdle at Aintree. Loads over in Ireland as well. The likes of Notebook, Quilixios, Sam Crow, Flooring Porter, the Stayers Hurdle Hero. Abracadabras looks like he's going to go up against him over 2.5 miles. It's a fascinating weekend of racing. Is there one or two that you're particularly looking forward to?
Yeah, it should be a brilliant weekend, Josh. As you say, that Wincanton day is always a day I look forward to watching, and hopefully we'll see some of those stars in action and maybe see a more polished display of jumping from Nappers Hill. I'm sure he's a very good horse. Obviously, it'd be great to see Brave Man's Game as well. And obviously, that Badger Beers handicap chase being as competitive as usual. I suppose in Ireland, it'd be interesting to see whether Quilixios takes his chance up at Naas in the Fishery Lane on Saturday. It looks an ideal starting point for a horse of his nature. A 4-year-old hurdle, grade 3 event. To get into it, he might face up against Jeff Kidder or Tiupo if he goes down that route. But I suppose the Liz Mullen hurdle at Navan on Sunday looks a real intriguing race. You've got Flooring Porter, the Stairs hurdle winner, Abacadabras, the Aintree hurdle winner, and My Woman, Mrs. Milner, the Pertemps winner, all potentially running against each other. Looks a real quality race. Royal Cahala's in there as well, getting a mare's allowance. So that will be one that I'll be really interested in, because I think, from what I've seen, that this is going to be the starting point for an awful lot of them in terms of looking ahead to the rest of the season.
Could be a big bust up at the weekend and plenty of informative races. There's also one on Friday that I'd like to put on your radar, and it's In This World, trained by Dan Skelton. It'll be the first run for the Skeltons, but he beat Phil Dore on his sole start in France. Phil Dore is now with Gordon Elliott and is the favourite for the Triumph Hurdle. I think he runs in the 12:50, the juvenile there. I think that he could be potentially very good and maybe Dan Skelton's Triumph Hurdle horse this season.
So looking ahead to this weekend, is there any early fancies, ABW?
Yeah, I've got one that if he was to run at Naas on Saturday, I'd quite like in the Brown Lad Handicap Hurdle at 155. It's Volcano for Gordon Elliott and the Morans. Looks a well-handicapped horse, I think. Was a progressive novice last year and ended up running in the Martin Pipe and fell at the first, was actually involved in the melee that brought himself and Gabby Nacko down at the first. There was money around from that day. He then disappointed at the Punchestown Festival, but I'd rule that performance out. And I think he'll be well primed to run well here. He's well handicapped, and this is a decent enough pot, $25,000 to the winner. So I'd be hard pressed to think that they won't be banged there with Volcano. As I say, I think he is well handicapped, and if he was to take his place, he'll certainly be having a bit of my money on him.
Very best of luck. We will be going through our weekend selections over on our YouTube channel. It's Let's Talk Racing on YouTube. Go and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. I've got a bit of an issue, Andrew.
What's that?
I run a racing club called Millennium Racing Club, and we've got a horse called Under La Seigneur running. He's won three times in the last 12 months. She's in training with Fergal O'Brien. It's a heck of a lot of fun. This weekend, she runs at Wincanton in the 2.5 miles mare's handicap hurdle, and it's a massive day for us. She won last time out. I don't think we expected her to win. I think we thought she was carrying a bit of condition. She looked big in the prelims, and I definitely thought that she'd come on for the run, and she was entitled to. She won very easily, which is extremely exciting. Looking at the race on Saturday, and this is what I tend to do when she runs, because you want to know which other horses are in the race, who the dangers. I really, really fancied another horse. And we expect Under La Seigneur to run well, but she's a bit of an unknown quantity. She could be ahead of a mark. Her mark might be fair. I really, really liked another horse in the race, but I'm not going to say the horse until the preview video over on our YouTube channel, just in case anything changes between now and then.
Well, I think it's one of those ones where you're almost betting against yourself. So if the horse that you're selecting won, you'd be somewhat happy. But also, if the horse you're selecting didn't win, but your mare wins, you'd be extremely happy as well. So you're trying to cover both options. It's a little bit counterintuitive, but I'm sure there's logic in there somewhere.
I'm going to have to spill the beans on the video preview. The final part of this podcast, we're going to run through some of the exciting novices very quick fire. And I'm going to get your thoughts on the distances that you think they'll be running at this season. And then I will input if I disagree. First of all, we'll go Kilcrook then. Willie Munners has said he's going to be aimed at the Supreme Novices hurdles. That's pretty easy. Do you think he'll stay at 2 miles?
You'd have to think so. I think he's got plenty of speed.
And Sir Gerhard up in trip to 2.5?
Yep, seems likely. I think the way he won the bumper, you'd have to think he was the staying type there of the two, perhaps. And I think at Punchestown as well, he was maybe found out for a little bit of speed.
Interesting. I see. I still think the opposite. I still think Kilcrook's the stayer. A Dysart Dynamo.
Yeah, well, I was reading the Racing Post Stable Tour with Willie Mullins, of which he said that this horse might stay to shorter trips. I've had it in my head that he's a 2.5 miler because he hits the line so hard. I'm going to keep with that, but he'll start over two.
Dark Raven.
Yeah, an unknown, really, Dark Raven. I think he'll start at two as well. I think he's got plenty of speed, so I can't see any reason why he'd go up.
Interesting. Journey With Me, who won the bumper, the same bumper that Bob Olinger won the year before.
Well, I'm convinced his horse is a 3 mile chaser, but I don't think he's going to run over 3 miles as a novice hurdler. So I think he'll run over 2.5, maybe even take in that 2.6 race at the Dublin Racing Festival. But I cannot see this horse running in the Bark that they won't want to bottom it out.
I completely agree. I definitely think he's a 3 mile chaser in time. I don't think he'll be good enough to win the Ballymore. John Bonn.
I think we'll find he's a 2 miler. If he's anything like his brother, he will be all speed.
I Am Maximus from the same stable.
Yeah, hard to know because we've only just seen him in a bumper, really. In that bumper, there's a part of me that believes he looked a little bit like a, you know, I don't want to heap too much pressure on the horse, but it looked a little bit Altior-esque. So I think he'll be a strong staying 2 miler with everyone always thinking that he might go up to 2.5. But probably will be at best over 2.
I love that. I'm a big fan of Iron Maximus, and he's entered over hurdles at Kempton on Monday in the first race. I think Connections are hoping for a little bit of rain. Mighty Potter, who won at the weekend.
Yeah, he's a 2 miler all over, I think, this horse. They couldn't go quick enough for him. I think he'll stick to 2 miles as well. Nice horse.
The Royal Bond is next on the agenda. Is he good enough to win a Supreme Novices hurdle?
Hard to know with those Willie Mullins horses that we haven't seen yet, but he certainly did it nicely at Down Royal, and he'd have to improve his jumping a little bit. I was also impressed by his stablemate Three Stripe Life today at Ferry House. I thought he jumped super for his first hurdling start, and I think both of them are going to run against each other in the Royal Bond, which would be fascinating.
I prefer Three Stripe Life to Mighty Potter, for what it's worth. Classic getaway.
Yeah, I think this horse will be a 2.5 miler. Again, a little bit like Journey With Me. I think he's a 3 mile chaser in time. I don't think we'll see the best of him over hurdles this year. I think we'll see the best of him when he tackles the fence.
Grange Clare West in the same colours for the same trainer.
Yeah, and I think the exact same with this horse. Won a 2.5 mile bumper. I think he's a 3 mile chaser. I think those two horses will have fairly light campaigns if I was to be a betting man. Considering how much Mullins has novice hurdle-wise, wouldn't surprise me to see them looked after this year with big novice chase aspirations on their mind the following season.
O'Toole.
Yeah, I've had it in my head. He's a 2.5 miler. Again, hard to know from just two starts. Certainly not a 3 mile novice hurdler in my eyes. But looked a strong stayer over 2 miles, so I'd say he might, another one of these might start at 2, but we'll end up seeing him at 2.5.
And there are many that we can go into, but the final one will be Nappers Hill.
Yeah, I would say 2.5 just because his jumping didn't look obviously very good at Chepstow when we were there over 2, but that might be different by the end of the week. I'm really hoping, actually, that he puts in a really good performance at Wincanton, and we might see a little bit more than we did at Chepstow. I was a bit flat after his Chepstow run.
I completely agree. Okay, I'm going to put this question to you. So you said Grange Clare West, Classic Getaway and Journey With Me are 3 mile chases for the future. If one of them was to be campaigned towards the Albert Bartlett, which one do you think that is more likely to be?
I would say it'll be one of the Mullins pair, just because I cannot see them running Journey With Me in the Bartlett. I think Mullins obviously likes having runners in every race. I would maybe take a stab on Grange Clare West, given he's won a 2.5 mile bumper, that he might be the 3 miler.
Very interesting and plenty to be excited about. Thank you very much, Andrew, for joining me. And do go over to our YouTube channel, subscribe, and we will have a video for you on Thursday morning. Thank you very much, and we'll see you soon.